Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. I'm looking at the Al Jamina Conde Nast Traveler. Names Israel one of its, quote, most incredible travel experiences. So the staff of this particular magazine include Israel as one of their nine most memorable travel destinations in an article published on Wednesday. That's always good. This is Israel 21C, Israel ranks as world's third most educated country. This was a fascinating. Wow. Israel outranks U.S. and South Korea. Now, you were stationed in South Korea.
I was.
That's probably why they're so smart and educated there.
I'm sure I had something. I left a little indelible mark upon the people of South Korea. That's
no, right. No doubt. outranks U.S. and South Korea for percentage of citizens aged 25 to 64 holding a degree in higher education, whether academic or vocational. So I think courses that are 2 or 4 years between that age group, Israel is the third most educated country, according to 2017 data compiled by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. It was interesting the way that they came about. Now, number two was Japan, okay?
Yep.
And number one, do you know what number one was?
I have no idea. I didn't see that. Who is it?
It was Canada.
Australia?
No, it was Canada. Good grief.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They only have the top five, so I don't know how far down we have to go to get to Australia. But
Maybe six.
I'd be surprised. Canada came in as the number one educated country in the world. But really, look, Japan was not far behind, and either was Israel. They were the top five were groups fairly closely altogether. But for a country so small, I think it really does say a lot. Don't you think so?
I do, and it's time and again we talk about Israel edges its way into some of these lists. We always talk about it, and we go and we love it. You know that article about the most incredible travel experience. This author said that it's got old and new, magical and humbling, and it really is. It's all of that. It's medical, every advance that you can think of. Israel's on that list.
That's
very
exactly,
good.
Exactly the case. That's why we go every year on the Tanakh tour. People can find the details of that at truthtoyou.org. truth2u.org, and we would love to see you. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Dorn, Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, my friend. And we have passed the season to be jolly. No more jolliness. That season has set sail.
Yep. Yeah, but you know, Jono, I had the look. I was getting a lot of attention during this season with beard. I had kids really behaving in front of me in the grocery store. Parents were using me. Let me tell you this. I was in a restaurant, and then we'll get off of it because I know it's past the season, but I was in a restaurant eating dinner with my son. A couple across from us flags me down, says that their kid thinks I'm Saint Nick. Anyway, so I got a lot of attention. I kind of enjoyed it.
Let me ask you a question. Did you go out thinking, you know, I'm just going to sort of stoke the fire a little bit and put on a red jumper or something?
I actually thought about that. I really did. But you know, I couldn't quite make myself. But look, next year, if I think there's money in it, would you have a problem with that? I mean, it's a little bit of money, but
if you were to get stopped on the street as you did in a restaurant, I mean, look, come on. Yep. I mean, you've got the big white flowing beard. You do look like yep. Santa Claus, and of course you know, put your biblical beard balm through your beard, which makes it even more glorious.
I'm like a fit Santa Claus, though. I'm in decent shape. Maybe that could be a thing. Maybe we could market it next year,
fit Santa.
Make some money, and we could have some spending money on the tour. How about that?
On the Tanakh tour, that's right. Well, so what happened? You were in the restaurant, and what, the kids wanted to have a photo with you or something?
Well, no, I see this little girl. She's probably not quite 4 years old, and I love kids, you know. And so I see the dad and the mom, and I know I hear them say Santa. And so the guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, my little girl thinks you're Santa. I'm sorry." I said, no, send her over, bring her over. So she came over.
That's
and
so
I asked
funny.
Her how
she was doing. Wait. You're having who are you having dinner with?
With Toby, with my 17-year-old.
Oh, with your so you're having dinner with your movie star son, right?
Right.
This is your and they're whispering to each other. Other patrons are whispering to each other, "Hey, never mind about the movie star. Look, there's Santa Claus." That's right. Keep going.
No, I enjoyed it because I told Toby, I said, "You realize that I just passed your stardom mark. Yeah. When they recognize me as the star at the table, then I feel like I've done something." And he said, "Yeah, you ought to be really proud." So. No, but it was several times in the grocery store. I would see moms kind of grab their arm, and I know what they're doing. I can see them whispering to the child, "You better be good. You better," you know, all that stuff. So you know, it kind of helps. I guess maybe next year I can make some money in the mall. Over in the States, you know, usually they have somebody who's filming or taking photos with the kids. And, you know, a couple of these guys are Jewish. There's, in fact, one of the most famous Santa Claus is an Orthodox Jewish guy.
Wasn't there an article on that was it Times of Israel or something? I saw something about that.
Yeah. He went to a Santa school and everything.
There's a Santa school?
Yeah, there's several of them. This guy.
It's right next door to the yeshiva, right?
Right. Yeah. He lost both of his parents in a short period of time. And because of the custom of not shaving while he was going through the mourning period, he grew out a beard for the first time in who knows how long. His beard was white, and people started saying, "Hey, you know, you look like Santa Claus." And he thought, "I guess I do." So he turns out, and now he runs a Santa school. He's an Orthodox Jewish guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't involve himself in the religious side of Christmas. He just he does a secular holiday and dresses up like the Saint Nick.
Well, now,
so
this plays right into something that I wanted to ask you, because I just watched a Prager video, right? Dennis Prager, another Jewish chap, and the video is entitled "Just Say Merry Christmas," and it's about the push, particularly in your country, obviously, to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Now, let me ask you: when people say to you Merry Christmas, what do you say?
Well, thank you very much. You too.
Right.
You know,
now I'm a little bit the same. I also respond with "Have a good one." I kind of feel irky about wishing someone a Merry Christmas because I'm not so inclined religiously, and neither are you. But I don't I don't relabel the day as if it's not that day. I mean, the reason why we have a holiday in the countries in which we live is because it's a Christian culture, and it is the reason for the holiday. So I don't mind acknowledging that.
I would even suggest, at least in the U.S., and this is part of what stems Prager's point, Christmas is almost totally secular. I would say it's a good high percentage of people who celebrate Christmas who have no religious inclination, or they don't associate the holiday with Christmas or with Christianity. So, you know, a lot of it is pretty much secular. And I think most people are well-read enough now, especially with social media and so forth, and people posting all the things about the pagan origins of the Yuletide and such. I think most people are aware of that. And if you ask them, they'll say, well, it's just sort of a secular deal. I do think that it's a divide like everything else, Jonah. You and I talk about this in our private conversations all the time. People are so opinionated that you have one group that says, if someone wishes me Merry Christmas, I'm going to respond with Bah Humbug. And you have another group that say, yeah, thanks, man. You too.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Have a good one. Yeah. Yes. What, let's be yes. nice to each other. Now, look, it's always, you're right, it's always an issue of contention for some. I noticed in Canada, I'm just looking at, this is on Jihad Watch, Canada, church takes cross off wall to avoid offending Muslims. Interesting.
Oh, really?
That's nice. How generous, broad-minded, and ecumenical, they say. Now, when will the local mosque put its Qurans away, since they deny the crucifixion, divinity, and redemption of Christ in order to avoid offending Christians? Well, we know that'll never happen. But even more so, Ross, there was an article in the Times of Israel just a couple of days ago, Canadian imam saying Merry Christmas is worse than murder. Now, did you see this video?
I didn't see the video, but I saw the headline, and I was thinking, you know I have some friends that almost feel like that, but no, I didn't read it or I didn't watch the video. How bad? So he really does. He said that saying Merry Christmas is worse than murder.
Saying Merry Christmas is worse than, I mean, he listed a few things, and of those transgressions, I'm sure murder was the worst, but he was saying that wishing someone Merry Christmas as a Muslim to a non-Muslim who celebrates Christmas is worse than murder. Wow. Okay. So, wow. And that's in Canada. Good heavens. Now, meanwhile, and this is in Israeli Cool, great website, Israeli Cool, Linda Sarsour's monumental Christmas screw-up. Did you see this one?
I did not. Tell me about, you know, I am not a big fan of Linda Sarsour. I'm sure that you're not either.
I absolutely am not.
What could she have possibly done that put her as a monumental screw-up? Because I think a lot of stuff she does is monumental.
In light of the previous article in Times of Israel from this Canadian imam, this really is quite hilarious. It says, in a Merry Christmas message on Facebook to her followers, Israel hater Linda Sarsour seems to have messed up big time. And this is what she wrote, right? Here it is, quote, Jesus, may peace be upon him, was a woolly-haired, copper-skinned, Palestinian Jewish refugee welcomed in Egypt.
Oh my welcomed goodness. With open arms, yep.
Now, I'm going to come back to that. He was an activist and an organizer. He challenged power and the status quo. He was unafraid. His commitment was to the poor and most marginalized of society. He protected those that our country would discard today. Jesus was love, mercy, and compassion. Be like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus, she says. Wishing all those who celebrate a blessed and merry Christmas. Well, according to the Canadian imam, she's just committed a sin worse than murder. But right. That's the least of her worries, as Israeli Cool goes on to say. It says, you read that correctly. In a short message, Sarsour admits a whole bunch of things. Number one, Jesus was Jewish, not a Palestinian Arab, or so many anti-Semites and Israel haters claim. Two, Jesus was a person of color. Three, the word Palestinian used to apply to the Jews. That is what she did in the message that she wrote right. there, because she said that he was a Palestinian Jewish refugee welcomed in Egypt. Four, there were Jews in the Holy Land, at least in the time of Jesus, well before the Muslim conquest of the area. So the writer concludes.
You're saying she kind of boxes herself in there and goes against some of the things she said previously.
Really, really does. And I think it was Aussie Dave that penned this, and he says, she does realize Jesus was a Zionist, right? I mean, that if he was alive today, he would be lynched if he wandered into the Palestinian-controlled areas. I reckon that's probably a fair thing to say.
So absolutely. He'd have rocks thrown at him on his donkey.
That's it. So he says, thank you, Linda, for this gift. It's like all your Christmases come at once. Now, the other thing that I would want to highlight on this before we go to the break, Palestinian Jewish refugees welcomed in Egypt. Why would she say that, Ross?
Well, I think she's clearly trying to stack the deck, and she's steady boxing herself in. But, you know, the funny thing is, when you said this, it made me also, speaking of welcome, before we talk about him being welcomed in Egypt, he wouldn't even be welcomed in modern day Bethlehem. I mean, Christians are fleeing Bethlehem like they really have to get out of there, right? That's one of the least...
Not the safest place to be, yeah. I don't think no. that... that he would be too welcome even in the manger. I'm going to talk about this, the reason why she's dropped Egypt here. We'll chat about this after the break, because there's quite a little bit in it. And you know, we're going to get biblical again, Ross.
Hey, it sounds good. Last time we did political, now we can do religious.
We can do religious. Let's do it. And we're going to move on from there, but this is going to be a little bit of fun. Stick around. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John O'Vander and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about an article in Israeli Cool by Aussie Dave, Linda Sarsour's monumental Christmas screw-up. It's about a Facebook message.
I love when we put Linda Sarsour and screw-up together. I think that should be like her. You should say Linda Sarsour, comma, screw up.
Said a thing again. Let's make fun of it. She said, Jesus, may peace be upon him, was a woolly-haired, copper-skinned, Palestinian Jewish refugee welcomed in Egypt. And she goes on, but welcomed in Egypt. You know where she gets that from? So this is one of the fulfillment citations. I think it's in Matthew, right?
Okay.
Well,
when he goes down to Egypt.
He goes down. Why does he go down to Egypt? Because apparently... Herod hears that his replacement has been is going to be born in Bethlehem. The wise men stopped after following the star to tip him off because the star
and they
got
have to flee. The family has to flee.
The star got lost, so they stopped to check with Herod and they said, "Hey, we're just here to find your replacement. If that's all right, do you know where he's going to be born?" And Herod said, "Well, hang on a second. Let me just check with my." The wise people here, and oh look, yeah, apparently Bethlehem. So if you could just head on to Bethlehem and say good day for me, and then after they left, Herod apparently decided, well, I better knock off all these kids that are going to replace me and make sure that doesn't happen. Which is a story that is not repeated anywhere else in any historical document. It's just found in the Book of Matthew, I think, casting great doubt as to whether something like that actually happened. In any case. As the story goes in Matthew, I'm pretty sure it's Matthew, and it says...
It is Matthew.
And Joseph's tipped off by an angel saying, hey, listen, Herod doesn't really like the idea of having someone succeed him, especially a baby. It's no fun. He's going to try and kill you, so you better head off to Egypt. And the reason why, Ross, the reason why it says that that this should be done so that it would be fulfilled by the prophet... out of Egypt I called my son. Do you know where?
You're getting ahead of yourself though. When he comes out of Egypt, that's the claim. Is that what you just said?
I believe so.
When he comes out of Egypt, the quote in Matthew is to quote Hosea chapter 11, verse 1.
There it is.
Tell us about it. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Says it does indeed have that. That's not the full quote, it's partial. I'm going to open up to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, because it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So in this particular passage in Hosea, remember Hosea, as you well know, is a prophet to the northern kingdom. You had the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, and of course, those that were associated with them. But in the northern kingdom, where Hosea is teaching and calling out for repentance, He's directly addressing the northern tribes, which were later called Israel and Ephraim. Mm-hmm. So this particular passage, there is a child who is called out of Egypt. It is indeed. But in this particular passage, in context, historically, it's talking about Israel. So Linda Sarsour is making this claim. She's mixing her metaphors. She's jumbling some things up to pitch her point.
Well, she's borrowing from Christian theology without checking her sources. And and just to go into a little bit more focus, of course, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 that you just quoted from is drawing from and paraphrasing, if you like, from Exodus chapter 4, verse, I think it's 22. Yeah, it says, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn," and so on and so forth. And and we all know what happened. But there it is, Linda, crash and burn once again.
Well, you know, Linda has a lot of things. She is very popular among the extreme left, which I really don't understand, but she truly is. She's got a pretty big following, and she tries to bring all of these different groups, no matter how much they might have problems with one another, under her umbrella, you know, under the social justice. And I think she's really got some uncommon bedfellows, if you ask me.
Often referred to as an alliance of convenience against Israel. That's the only thing they seem to have in common. Now, you know, she's a big fan of BDS. We know that. Here's a couple of interesting things that happened over the week, Ross. And this is in...
About BDS?
Yeah.
You know, I hate BDS. Yeah, I'm all about this.
This is it. So this is in Israel and Stuff. That's a cool name, israelandstuff.com. It says, after breaking trade deal with Israel, Jerusalem bans Palestinian produce. This is what happened. In response to the Palestinian Authority's ban on the sale of Israeli lamb inside the West Bank, Israel's Minister for Agriculture, Uri Ariel, has unilaterally frozen all imports of Palestinian produce, depriving the PA economy of more than $200,000 a day until the Palestinians rectify the trade agreement. In other words, now this is reported by I-24 News. In other words, you said, hey, you want to do that? Two can play that game. And that's one way to deal with it. Now, another way to deal with it, Ross, is did you hear that SodaStream want to open up a factory in Gaza?
I did see that, and I think it's what do you think? Do you think it's going to go? I mean, I don't see how Hamas would let this go. Do you?
I really, honestly, I don't know how this would work out, but it says, and this is
Jerusalem. First of all, I don't understand why SodaStream thinks that's a good idea, but I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
Well, it is an interesting experiment. Jerusalem Post, SodaStream to open factory. Oh, don't you love that? Okay, I got to say something about this. All right. Jerusalem
go
Post.
Ahead.
Come on, guys. You got to do something about all of this advertising and all of this stuff that turns on and off, and you'd be reading it and all of a sudden you're lost and you don't know where anything is. And what's with this little ad? Do you get this ad where it wants you to wear like half an onion as a kippah? Have you seen that ad?
No, but I guarantee you that was caused by something you were searching for. It was probably when you were searching for the man bun or something.
Maybe that's what it was. There's so many ads. Come on, Jerusalem Post. You got to make this website easier to read. Okay, anyway, Jerusalem Post. I had to go back. I had to click back. Here I am. SodaStream to open factory in Gaza. It goes on to say things could bubble up. Oh, clever.
Jerusalem. Nice.
Well done. Bubble up in Gaza as soon as SodaStream CEO Daniel Birnbaum announces plans on Thursday to open a manufacturing facility in Gaza. Quote, "We want the people of Gaza to have jobs, real jobs, because where there is prosperity, there can be peace," he said. So now what do you think of that?
Well, I think that's a wonderful idea, but you know, who's going to man all the burning tires? I mean, something. Yeah, but truly, if some of these people were allowed to have good jobs, and I'm thinking particularly about SodaStream. Remember, there were factories of SodaStream in Judea and Samaria that people really lost their mind over. But these had Palestinians, quote unquote, and Jews working side by side, earning decent wages. Yep. And they loved their jobs, but they were forced by these bad regimes to stop. And I think that, that the same thing is going to happen, of course, in Gaza. You don't have Jews living in Gaza, obviously.
No, well, that's true. But this is my point. So what do the BDS do about this? Do they want to then boycott the SodaStream? Because by doing so, they are destroying work, denying work for Gazans, which they would support. So what do they do? They're caught in a, you know, in a catch 22.
It's called biting the hand that feeds you. The BDS, look, BDS isn't concerned with helping Palestinians. Their concern is on harming Israel. And if they have to hurt some Palestinians
in order to harm Israel, yep,
they will do it. They will do it. They have no regard for the Palestinian people. They simply want to hurt Israel. They want to destroy, to boycott, to divest, and sanction against Israel, no matter what. Uh-huh. No matter what.
So I find this intention, good intention from SodaStream, to be an interesting experiment that I would like to keep an eye on over the coming year. BDS.
Hey, wait. Yeah, I was going to say, I have another BDS story before the break.
Go on.
BDS, there's an international donation accounts for BDS are frozen now. Frozen. Did you see that? Ramallah-based BDS International Committee. It's sort of an umbrella. It's called the BNC. It's an umbrella for 27 Israel boycott groups. There's a fundraising site on DonorBox that was frozen because of suspected ties to terrorists. Now, let me say something about this, Jono. The government is tied to terror. I mean, they're paying terror. So the fact that this DonorBox is associated with funds might be slipping away to terrorists, that shouldn't surprise anyone at all.
Shouldn't at all. Shouldn't at all. But I did see that. It's Ramallah-based. Yeah, I mean, come on. There's a clue. It says it says the American website DonorBox, a popular fundraising, this is on Jerusalem Post, popular fundraising platform for nonprofits, which serves as the umbrella organization for the Palestinian Boycott Coalition, announced that it is freezing the accounts of the BDS National Committee, which operates from Ramallah, and is headed by an Israeli resident, Omar Baguchi. Now, where do we know that name from?
I don't know, but I don't know it other than this story. But let me add, there are five companies that just really stand out. Here are a couple of examples of those Israeli boycott groups that are tied in with the BNC. If this doesn't give it away, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hamas. Anybody heard of Hamas? Yeah. How about the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine? How about the Islamic Jihad? Any of those you might think they might be associated with terror?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. BDS, like I said, they want to harm Israel. They don't want to help anybody.
We're going to get a little bit cheerier after a break. We've got some more stuff coming up, and it's going to get cheerier. So stick around, dear listeners. We will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vandoor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about the failures of the BDS movement. Hey, by the way, Ross, I'm reading here in Aruch Seba. It says, Roseanne Barr will speak at the Knesset in January, saying she has important work to do as a voice against the insidious and anti-Semitic BDS movement.
Hey, I think that's good. Focus her energy. First of all, you know she's going to love talking to the Knesset because she has dreams of becoming the Prime Minister of Israel.
She said that, yeah. She has.
So this is a start. She gets her foot in there, and who knows? You know, maybe she'll get in there. And look, I've always believed that if we could focus Roseanne and just get her to have our enemies or her enemies, that might be a good thing. You know, maybe sick her on Roger Waters. Maybe that would, you know, back in the news.
I think she's had some words to say about him. It says the American comedian's address will come during a tour organized by celebrity Rabbi Shmuley Bateach, his World Values Network, the organization announced on Monday. So I'm sure she'll do very well. There's another Jewish actress in the news. Who's that?
Gal Gadot. Yep. She got all emotional because she's wrapping up the Wonder Woman filming, and she just, from what I remember seeing in the news this week, she really was very touched by it. You know, I mean, look, I know from personal experience when my son is on these movie sets, you're on set for quite a while, and these people become like family. I mean, you're around them day in and day out for hours and hours and hours. So. I can imagine it's probably pretty touching to say goodbye.
Wonder Woman 1984 is the name of the second movie that the first one grossed, what was it, about almost $822 million worldwide. And, this one is going to be released on June 5, 2020. So good on you, Gal. I'm sure you'll do very, very well with that. Here's a story, Ross. I don't know what to make of this. Okay. Times of Israel, suspected fraudster arrested for posing as mystic love guru.
Mystic love guru.
Yeah, Rehovot man allegedly promises his victims he would make their former romantic partners return in exchange for thousands of shekels.
What if they didn't want their past lovers to show back up?
I don't think that he would be the guy to call. But if you did, and apparently one poor lady was defrauded the equivalent of $12,500. This guy.
What does he mean? He's going to make them like just show back up in their life through some kind of mumbo jumbo.
Well, I think it must be some sort of mumbo jumbo. I don't think he's going to stalk them and kind of have pressing conversations with them. It doesn't go into detail, but I would love to know what was his. When you use the word mystic, I'm kind of thinking there's a crystal ball or something going on. There's a few candles being burned and maybe some incense and maybe a set of strange tarot cards or something. I don't know.
Yep.
But it says police on Tuesday said they arrested a man suspected of swindling large sums of money out of women by presenting himself as a mystic who can rekindle flames with old love interests. 34-year-old.
Hey, look, you know what? You and I have talked about a lot of ideas that we could come into some kind of entrepreneurial relationship and make some money. I got one that you and I could do.
Go on.
Two mystic gurus, one in Louisiana, one in Australia, and we could swindle people out of thousands of shekels to make their previous lovers not show back up. Probably be more popular because most people probably would rather they not show back up. I don't know.
Do you know what? No doubt, somewhere in the world, that position is being filled. I don't doubt it. There's something for everyone. People are just gullible and some people are just willing to throw thousands of dollars at anything. Let's move on. What do you got?
I got a couple of things. Did you see that the Israelis are sending a Bible, a flag, copy of the Declaration of Independence, Hatikva, in a digital file, various literature? Where are they sending it, Jono?
They're sending it to the moon.
To the moon, baby, to the moon.
As a time capsule. Now, this is interesting because, I mean, as a time capsule, what that means is they believe, and maybe this is fair enough. I mean, I don't have this kind of vision, but, in hundreds of years to come when maybe there's no longer, well, not just a space station, but maybe there's a station on the moon when they're out and about. I mean, we've seen the movie. I wouldn't go out and about and, hitting rocks with hammers and things that look like eggs and having aliens jump out and attach to your face and all that sort of stuff. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
but But
I wouldn't either.
But if it's well marked and easily identified, then maybe this time capsule will be of great interest in centuries to come. What do you think?
I think that's a wonderful idea. I think it's very interesting. Bray Sheet is the name of this first non-government craft in the world to go to the moon. Israeli Space IL in Israeli Aerospace Industries presented this time capsule. It's going to launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida, in February. So I think that's I think it's very interesting.
Well, I don't know. Well, you know, if I was going to put anything in a time capsule and send it to the moon, a copy of the Hebrew Bible would definitely be one of them.
I think that'd be great. I think it would be.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. What else have we got?
Hey, well, while we're talking about the moon, we just passed on the 24th of December, all the way back in 1968. Speaking of the Hebrew Bible, a lot of people don't know this. I posted an article.
Oh, speaking of Bereshit.
On my blog.
Yeah.
That the Apollo 8 crew gave their famous address in 1968. At the time, it was the most widely viewed television broadcast. People around the world sat on the edge of their seat as the members of that craft read from the book of Genesis, the opening passage from Bereshit. So I just think that's speaking of the Torah from the heavens. So that would be very nice to do that.
There you go. All right. Finding things on the moon, proclaiming things from the moon. Hey, what is, speaking of finding things, what's this, this is in Times of Israel, misplaced 2,000-year-old ring discovered in Jerusalem's city of David. Did you read about this?
I did. Didn't they find that at the sifting project that we've done before?
We have done that. Did they find it there? So there is a sifting project, and I think it's on, is it Mount Scopus or the Mount of Olives? It's around there anyway. And it began because of all the ground matter that was illegally removed from the Temple Mount by the Arabs,
right,
and just dumped.
They were dumping it in the Kidron Valley, and two students saw these piles and reported it to Dr. Gabby Barkai, and if I'm not mistaken, and he got the correct documentation in order and opened up this nice place. You can go there. We do this sometimes on our Tanakh tour, mm-hmm. and people get a bucket of soil and the potential of finding something incredible. But this ring was discovered, as I understand, from soil that came from this path that led from down below in the city of David up to what was the temple. So
might have belonged to Jesus.
Could have. We don't know who it belonged to. It's a beautiful ring. Somebody, you know, they're speculating, but they believe somebody might have lost this in a ritual bath.
Oh, in a mikveh. Easy to do.
Could have very, yep.
Wow. Okay. So things constantly popping up out of the ground.
What about this little old Jewish lady in Times of Israel, Agnes, who told off three drunks? Did you see about that?
I do recall seeing something about that. Remind me.
Yep. She's on this, I guess, public transportation, and three drunks, among other things, it was in France. That's where it was.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know, mouthing off about certain political things that made them unhappy. But in the process, they were giving sort of a drunken salute using a Nazi, you know, the raised hand of the Nazi salute. And she looked around and nobody was saying anything. So little old lady, Agnes, gets up and walks up to him and says, "Hey, guys," I'm paraphrasing, "you guys need to tone it down. This is anti-Semitic." And her father had been in Auschwitz, as I understand. So she shut him down. This little old lady shut these three drunks down. She said she never was really concerned about her well-being, but she also wasn't going to let this slide. So good on her, Agnes. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
She shut him down.
Oh, good on her. No, hey, I've just found it. Little old lady feted for telling off anti-Semites on Paris metro. And as you say, Agnes, whose father was sent to Auschwitz, tells three drunken protesters to stop doing quasi-Nazi salute, drawing torrents of verbal abuse from them, I suppose, but media accolades. So good on you, Agnes. Good on you for having the guts.
Hey, what's up with this Australian TV guy, Waleed Ali, crying about Israeli security? Do you know this guy?
This guy. Oh, will he ever go away? Okay, so he's a Muslim. He's got an agenda. He really is no fan of Israel, but for whatever reason, he was there. And he was whinging on his show. I think it's called The Project. I don't watch TV, but I saw this clip, right. And I think it was Ozzy Dave from Israeli Cool that did share this. And it was him whining about the fact that he was pulled aside at the airport. And we've spoken about airport security in Israel. Ben-Gurion Airport is second to none. And the amount of time that it took for them, you know, the questions that they asked him, the screening and everything. And he was, you know, quite upset about it, apparently. Good heavens. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, dude, don't you know why? I mean, isn't it obvious why that Israel has such intense security and why it is such a safe airport? Is because of the
ask Yair Netanyahu why they have to do that. Yeah, that's who he needs to ask.
That's exactly right. The pending threat of Islamic terror. So, yeah, I really felt that was quite ridiculous. Waleed.
Jonah, we are out of time.
I wish Waleed was out of time, but we're out of time. We're going to be back this time next week. Dear listeners, please join us again. And until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.